This is the Quality News Network. Rescue efforts resume in rural southwest Washington state today, where flooding has forced hundreds from their homes that are currently underwater. More than 100,000 people are without power. The good news, it has stopped raining for now. In Oregon, National Guard troops evacuated the town of Vernonia in rafts. The storm that hit the Northwest Monday left 5 people dead in Oregon and Washington. Progress is slow at the climate meeting in Bali. The 190-nation gathering about global warming took small steps today toward curbing greenhouse gas emissions, especially in China and India. President Bush claims he'll veto a new congressional law toughening fuel standards for cars. It is the first change in fuel standards in 30 years. The legislation is designed to decrease greenhouse gas emissions and increase fuel efficiency. The president held a news conference today and said Iran is still a danger, despite a new U.S. intelligence report that says Tehran's nuclear weaponry program was halted 4 years ago and remains on hold. Iran's foreign minister responded to the report yesterday and said they welcome the correction by the U.S. intelligence, although the report cautioned that Iran is still enriching uranium. U.S. nuclear negotiator Christopher Hill is meeting with his North Korean counterpart today. Yesterday, Hill became the highest-ranking American to visit Pyongyang's reactor. 5 National Guard brigades, about 15,000 soldiers, have been called up for combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, scheduled to start in the summer of 2009. North of Baghdad, the U.S. military says soldiers accidentally killed 1 civilian and wounded 3 yesterday. American troops opened fire on a vehicle, slow to stop at a roadblock. The British schoolteacher imprisoned in Sudan for violating Islamic law has arrived in London. She was pardoned by Sudan's president after serving half of her 2-week sentence. Former Democratic fundraiser Norman Hsu was formally charged today in a 15-count indictment for engaging in a fraud scheme involving illegal campaign contributions in other people's names. Hsu contributed an estimated $850,000 to Hillary Clinton's campaign. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read 2 of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Toni Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Toni's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Toni Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
A congressional committee criticized credit card executives for using falling credit scores to charge customers higher interest rates. Members of the committee say it's an example of abusive and confusing credit practices that often push consumers into deeper debt. Treasury officials and mortgage companies continue discussing a plan to temporarily freeze lower introductory rates to curb foreclosures. About 2 million subprime U.S. mortgages will reset to higher levels next year. Tax preparer H&R Block closed down its subprime home lending unit, laying off 620 people. The move comes after an agreement to sell the unit to another company failed. Microsoft will tone down its campaign against pirated software. Instead of shutting down much of a customer's computer when it finds questionable materials, the updated system will nag the user. Frequent pop-up warnings will appear telling the user their operating system is fake. And light sweet crude oil is trading down 99 cents at $88.32 a barrel. Gold is up $13 at $807 an ounce. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended down 66 points at 13,256. The Nasdaq down 17 points at 2,618. And the S&P 500 was off 9 points. More on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It is the Week in Review. Got a lot to talk about. Now, I know some of you have been anxiously awaiting my disquisition on the Second Amendment. I'm going to tell you all about the Constitution and guns related to a case before the United States Supreme Court where they're taking up the D.C. gun ban. I know that was postponed from last week. I promise I will get to it tomorrow. But there's so much in the news to talk about that I really have to put that off for a day. And it's mostly good news, I'm proud to say. It's never always good news. In fact, it's rarely mostly good news. But, of course, the top headline, the main headline, that guess what? Iran hasn't been seeking military nuclear weapons since 2003, the National Intelligence Estimate has reported. And I guess it's going to be really hard for Dick Cheney to take us to war. I know a lot of people were afraid of that, but I think we've learned our lesson. I really think, that's a silly thing to say, Mark. I should hit myself hard. We never really learn all our lessons. Let's just say there's been a partial learning of lessons, and I want to talk about that report and what it means. Also, some good news out of Venezuela. Hugo Chavez, has been dealt a blow. He did what a lot of dictators do. They think that the people really love them, and then he tried to take complete power for himself, and he failed. So there's good news there as well. And I'm proud to say that, not everyone that opposes George Bush is our friend. Hugo Chavez is not our friend. Iran is not our friend. But at least by them being stopped, by their own accounts, then it keeps George Bush from doing really awful things to those countries and to America that has to fund his wars. What else is going on? There's a nice United States Supreme Court ruling on Iowa and prisons that basically they can't require people to undergo a religious treatment in order to get rehabilitation. Duh. But again, good news. And what else? George Bush is criticizing Congress. What else is new? Nobody's really listening. And in Sudan, the teddy bear teacher has been pardoned. I want to talk about all of that and Larry Craig's return to the Senate. I mean, he's here to stay now, despite new allegations of a number of different trysts he's had, including one with a prostitute. I guess it didn't matter to Senator Vitter, Republican of Louisiana, when he's with a straight prostitute. Why should it matter that Larry Craig's with a gay prostitute? Oh, yeah, I remember. He's against gay rights. A little bit of hypocrisy there. Mitt Romney's going to give the great religion speech. I guarantee you will have nothing to do with John Kennedy's 1960 speech, where he said there should be a wall of separation between church and state, and the fact that I'm Catholic basically is nobody's business. You won't be hearing that from Mitt Romney. Meanwhile, all the Christian conservatives are going to Mike Huckabee, who is having all kinds of dirty tricks played on his behalf, with Huckabee having plausible deniability. Talk about dirty tricks in politics. Also, the Russian election, if I haven't mentioned that already, that is some bad news, as Putin slowly takes control of a new dictatorship in Russia. Everyone seems to be focused on other kinds of news. Meanwhile, the thing that's keeping us in Iraq, the thing that makes those conservatives care so much about the Middle East, oil is doing just fine. Oil companies are just fine. Congress is trying to do the right thing. Yay, Congress. They are passing a bill to increase energy efficiency standards for cars. Doesn't seem like that extreme, just to make people conserve a little. Well, of course, you know George Bush is going to veto it and to protect the oil companies. So all of that's on my agenda, and anything you want to join in, it is a Week in Review. All topics are valid. You can just give a call, 877-4-HEAD-ON, and let me know what's on your mind. Before I go into the details, though, I do want to issue an apology for last week. I was talking last week about Annapolis and how I'm generally concerned by the rise in anti-Israel sentiment on the left. There's always been some on the right. But sometimes I fear that some people on the left think that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and that's not always true. In any case, I had talked last week about how the left used to support the State of Israel, and in
fact that they did away when the Jewish Palestinians were fighting against British colonial rule in the 40s, the left was very much on the side of them, was very much on the side of the State of Israel. And then the Soviet Union, the Communist Party, changed their view about 49 or 1950 when they found that Israel was not going to be a Soviet client state. They changed their view, and ever since that time, the Communist Party and Arab states have spent billions of dollars on all kinds of propaganda, a lot of untrue propaganda, really nasty stuff about Israel. Let me be clear. I am not saying that anyone at the Horn is a communist or anything like that. That's ridiculous. I certainly don't believe that the people listening to this show support the Communist Party. I do want to say, though, that we should be careful of any statement by anyone, not just from Bush. We're very careful to parse his statements, not just from Bill Clinton. We should parse his and Hillary Clinton's and everybody else, but also from people, well-meaning people, who might repeat something that turns out not to be true. And in fact, I did a show last week on, in fact, an allegation that turned out not to be true. And all I'm saying is that I think people need to be careful whenever they read something on the internet. For example, I love truthout.org. I think they're a terrific website. They quoted a Lebanese Red Cross official that turns out to be someone who had given a lie to the press about the ambulances and things. And so all I'm saying is I think people need to be careful. But I want to apologize if anyone felt that I was under the impression that people were communists or anything like that. I certainly don't believe that. All right, let's get back to the national intelligence estimate. This is exciting stuff, my friends, because it shows that there has been some, not enough, but some reform in the intelligence community. The intelligence community has decided that, hey, maybe they should just tell the truth to the American people. We've learned a lot with this estimate. One of the things we've learned is that George Bush had this estimate 2 months ago and was still arguing for World War III with Iran. But people have been pressing for them to do the right thing, and it's good to know, frankly, that our tough policy toward Iran has worked. No, not the threats of war, but the economic sanctions. If you look back and see when Iran stopped its nuclear program, it stopped it in 2003, which is around about the same time that we got European states on board opposing Iran having nuclear weapons. And what it shows, I think, is the power of diplomacy, not the way George Bush did things, but the way that if European states, if the world understands something and puts pressure on it, and it's not just, saber rattling by our government, we can actually achieve good ends. And I'm glad to see that at this point there is no case for going to war with Iran. There's still a case, I should say, to be careful about sanctions. I think the Iranian government is dangerous, much as I thought Saddam Hussein's government was dangerous. But there are levels of danger. Just as Saddam Hussein was not a pleasant man and tortured his own people and was a dictator, but that didn't justify a preemptive attack to waste thousands of American lives and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Iraqi lives, and definitely millions of Iraqi refugees and trillions of dollars. If it wasn't worth all that, that doesn't mean it was worth $0 either. We should have done pretty much, I think, what Bill Clinton did, containment. Heck, it's the same thing that worked for the former Soviet Union. Containment, not aggressive war, not invading Moscow, not invading Tehran or Baghdad, but simply being careful and watching and making sure that the bad guys aren't helping other bad guys. That, I think, is a middle position and a justified one for U.S. policy. This national intelligence estimate should finally puncture the balloon of all the neoconservatives who argue that we need to go to war with Iran. That's ridiculous. It doesn't mean that we should not watch Iran. They're still doing a civilian nuclear program. But one of the people I trust in this regard is Mohammed El-Baradei of the International Atomic Energy Agency. He has said all along that Iran had stopped doing any military nuclear options. We should watch them and watch them closely, much as we did North Korea. Remember, under Bill Clinton, North Korea did not develop nuclear weapons. We had cameras in the nuclear facilities. We were watching them very closely. We still need to do the same for Iran's nuclear program. But all those that would beat the drumbeats for war, I think this NIE should finally end it. Folks, if you want to call in on this or any of the many stories of the week, please please do. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Dave.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Fox Stop at midnight Eastern, where we'll take a look at Lenny Kravitz.
The spiritual, you know. It's very important to me. It should be important to all of us, you know. It's like, especially the situation that the world is in, you know. I think it's time for people to really start to think about this whole universe and where we come from and where we're going and get involved.
So be there Thursday midnight on Fox Stop, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We want peace, we want it, yes, we want peace, we want it.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, everything's going to be okay. That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. As I said, it's good news not just on Iran, but also in Venezuela. And it's very interesting what's happening, because I'm pleased, and it, you know, like I said, it's rarely do I find good news, but I'm pleased that what used to happen in Latin America seems to be slowing down. It used to be primarily in the Ronald Reagan era, but a little bit before and after that there was a terrible choices for Latin Americans. They had a choice between right-wing dictatorships often supported by the United States, filled with death squads that would support the American agenda, would also support the agenda of American corporations, and help Latin American countries be in an unbridled capitalism, crony capitalism state, where the government made huge amounts of money off the few natural resources and people stayed poor. That was one choice. And the other choice for people in Latin America in the 1980s tended to be, well, communist revolutions, not socialist revolutions, not merely where the poor would get some rights and some land reform and all that good stuff, but where the people who were supporting such things for the poor were at the same time enamored of their own power and wanted to create their own dictatorship. And as for a democratic middle, some combination of capitalism and socialism, that just didn't exist. Well, I think what happened in Venezuela is fascinating, because the people largely support Chavez's policies, things, good things like land reform and making sure that there's more equal opportunity and providing universal health care and all the ways in which we progressives would want to see happen in Latin America. But Chavez, unfortunately, like many leftist movements in Latin America, went too far, and he put out a bunch of amendments basically making him dictator for life, making him in control. He's already in control of state government and judiciary and the press, but the only thing left was that 5 years from now is the end of his term, and he's got to give up power. Well, Chavez thought, well, while I'm doing these things and while people support me, I'll just make sure to extend my power indefinitely. And the people of Venezuela, to their credit, said, you know, Chavez, we may like certain policies of yours, but we don't support dictatorship. We don't support indefinite rule. It was a wonderful vote in Venezuela, where the millions of people who had supported Chavez, about half of them backed off and said, hey, you know, we support some of your policies, but we don't want to see you in power for life. That, to me, is a terrific middle, a terrific compromise, and the way it should be. I've always felt that democracy is very important, no matter where it is, particularly if it's in an established country where you can have not just one election, but two and three and four afterwards. We've seen many dictatorships arise from one election where the person then takes power and stays in power. But if Venezuela is to become a country like much of Latin America is today with regular elections, this was crucial. And I have to say, I don't think that Chavez expected it, just like I don't think Marcos in the Philippines expected it. Many dictators are under the misimpression that everybody loves them because the people who surround them say they love them so much. Heck, George Bush, who doesn't seem to read the newspapers, is surrounded by people who tell him how wonderful he is. So it was nice to see this little slap in the face. And, you know, I think any government needs to have some combination of socialism and capitalism. I think unbridled capitalism leads us to the jungle. It leads us to pure corporatism, where poor people working in factories are misused. And in fact, I want to do a story on that you're going to hear this Thursday on Smithfield Foods. You may be aware of some really egregious worker mistreatment that's going on there. And I've got that story scheduled for Thursday. But also, unbridled socialism, well, I don't think there's anything terrible about democratic socialism. I think that sometimes it leads to people maybe not working hard enough. The most socialist system I know is, in fact, the kibbutzim in Israel, where the people really do simply work for the common good of the community, and the community prospers or not. I think it can work in smaller circumstances, but there's always the problem of people worrying about someone being lazy or someone taking advantage of the system. I have no problem with people who work harder being rewarded harder. I just think we need a combination. And so it's silly to consider socialism a bad name. It's silly to consider capitalism a bad name. I think they both have their good things about them. Just both of them can be overused. I do want to go back and talk about the well, let's talk about the presidential election. Before I get there, one more thing. Let's finish our foreign policy. In Russia, again, it bears repeating how rare it is, I think, for the press or America today to take a look at what's going on in Russia. You want a real danger, a country that already has nuclear weapons, and not just one or two, but enough to destroy us many times over, a country that we had won for democracy with a containment policy of Democratic and Republican presidents that is now sliding back into dictatorship, it's Russia. And it's always astonishing to me how the Republican Party, which was so anti-communist and working so hard against the Soviet Union along with the Democratic Party, is now strangely quiet when Putin, step by step, mishandled election by corrupt election, is slowly taking power in Russia again. I mean, the last election was a fraud. Everyone in Europe said it was a fraud. It was not a free and fair democratic election. In fact, even the parties that were running were all Kremlin-sponsored parties. There's the main United Russia Party. I mean, even the two smaller parties are controlled by the Kremlin. There's a right-wing policy from the Russian fascists, ironically called the Liberal Democratic Party. Maybe it's not ironic in Russian. And then there's another party, the Free Russia Party, that is not free. And now we get to the point where the Communist Party in Russia is the opposition. Yuck. Yuck. Now maybe George Bush looked into Putin's heart and saw something there that, well, I don't know, the rest of us didn't see. But this is a country that we need to focus on. This is a country that 5, 10, 25 years from now, we could be right back where we were in the Cold War. And I don't think it takes that much. I still think there's time in Russia. I still think there are democratic traditions in Russia. The overthrow of the dictatorship is still new enough that I think we can help the well-meaning people of Russia to restore their country back. But one way to do it is not by ignoring it. Meanwhile, in Sudan, sort of finish foreign policy first. In Sudan, we have the pardoning of the second grade teacher whose seven-year-olds named a teddy bear Muhammad. This story, it illustrates so much. It illustrates the fanaticism, religious fanaticism that's going on in the world, but it also illustrates how we can tone down a situation. Great Britain, in fact, took the lead on this. They took two Muslim members of the House of Lords and sent them to Sudan and quietly got Sudan to back off this egregious problem. But I don't want to praise Sudan too much. There is still genocide going on in Darfur. Still, today, genocide going on in Darfur. We're going to put a few troops in there. The world community is. I'm afraid it's too little, too late, but it's better than nothing. Let's not praise them too much. When someone does the wrong thing and then stops themselves, they're equal, all right? We don't need to talk about the teddy bear so much anymore, but let's talk about real problems, such as those that are going on in Darfur. Anyway, the election is heating up. We have all kinds of craziness going on. And apparently, Huckabee, the Christian conservative, is beating out Romney, the Mormon conservative, for the religious fanatics vote. And the way he's doing it, well, it basically is similar to the same dirty tricks that got George W. Bush president. Now, he's supposed to be the optimistic candidate. He's supposed to be the moral candidate. What the heck is going on in the Huckabee campaign? And how is Romney trying to give a Kennedy speech that has nothing to do with Jack Kennedy's separation of church and state? I'm going to talk about that when we come back, and also encourage you folks to call in, talk about any topic you wish. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, 877-4HEAD-ON. Any number you pick, you'll get through to me. I'll be right back after this.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days, so surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. For a guy who vowed to change the tone in Washington, Bush couldn't have been snarkier in his Monday Rose Garden attack on Congress. The only civil things he said were good morning and thank you. Between the salutations, all he did was sling mud. On substance, he got down to rusty tacks. Once again, he repeated the canard that Democrats in Congress want to deny funds to our troops in harm's way. Unless Congress acts, he said four times, there would be layoffs in the Pentagon and crucial funds would be denied our military. But the truth is, Democrats have acted. They've passed legislation that would fully fund the needs of the military, but not the ongoing Iraq war. Bush and the Republicans have blocked this legislation. So when Bush said, unless Congress acts, what he meant was, unless Democrats give me everything that I demand. Lastly, Bush implored Congress to act in a fiscally responsible way. This from a man who's run up record deficits and who's spent $500 billion on a reckless, illegal war whose ultimate tab will probably exceed $2 trillion, enough to pay for universal health care for more than a decade. Bush doesn't have the facts or the policy on his side. All he has now is petulance. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It wasn't exactly Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. Bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here, nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying to make me stay. You know I've got to be moving on.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Iowa caucus is around the corner beginning January 3rd, just after the new year. And a lot of the media is focused on the surge of Barack Obama. Will it be him or Clinton or Hillary or somebody else? I want to focus on the Republican race for a minute because I have to say I guess I'm not surprised at what's going on there. When a certain second-tier candidate by the name of Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas has apparently become the front runner in the Republican Party, and the media is shocked, and the Republican Party is shocked, and heck, I'm not shocked at all. The religious right has controlled the Republican Party certainly ever since Ronald Reagan, and so it's not surprising they picked Mike Huckabee. Brownback's out. Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas was the only other fundamentalist in the race. So when they want a candidate who doesn't believe in evolution, one who believes in the apocalypse, one who, you know, thinks the end of the world is coming and his faith should be put on all the rest of us, well, who are they going to go for? I mean, not Rudolph Giuliani, old for all that he's done wrong in New York, and we can have a long list of that. He does seem to be grudgingly pro-choice and grudgingly pro-gay rights, at least grudgingly for a Republican. Of course, he's nowhere as good as any of the Democrats. But I can't vote for Giuliani for that reason. And John McCain, well, I mean, he supports them on social issues, but heck, he believes we have too much money in government. He can't have John McCain. John McCain suggests that maybe money shouldn't run the country. Oh, my God, McCain-Feingold, that's apostate. Got to get rid of him. Mitt Romney, well, Mitt Romney, he supports all the things that Mike Huckabee does. He's certainly a religious conservative and, you know, and wants to stop gay rights. And, I mean, obviously he had to flip-flop on all his positions as the earlier governor of Massachusetts. But Romney supports all these positions, but, oh, Romney's a Mormon. And, well, religious fundamentalists can't support a Mormon. Which is interesting because, I mean, it would have to be for their theology. I don't think it has to do with any political issues of Mormonism. I mean, well, I think most of us in America don't believe that, you know, Jesus came to the Americas and created, you know, a new Israel here in America and wrote the Book of Mormon and all of that. Most of us don't believe that happened. But heck, you know, they're not hurting anybody. Why is it a problem? Well, it's only a problem if you're a religious conservative. Heck, for all the complaints that many of us make about Harry Reid and his weakness, the one complaint that I've never made and won't make is that he's Mormon. I condemn him for his policies, not for his religion. But fundamentalists can't vote for Romney. And that's one of the reasons why, in fact, Fred Thompson got in the race. Fred Thompson was going to get in the race because the three front runners, Giuliani, McCain, and Romney, couldn't get the religious conservative vote. So they picked this one-term senator from Tennessee, who wasn't known for doing very much in the Senate, and had a good career as an actor. They said, he'll be our hero, he'll be our savior. He will support the religious right in the same way that, George W. Bush does. But Thompson turns out to be a bit of a dud. Apparently, he's not quite as against a woman's right to choose an abortion as they hoped he would. He really isn't catching fire. So they've got to turn to the Baptist minister. They've got to turn to the guy who, no question, is on their side. The man who was introduced at rallies by none other than Tim LaHaye. You know who Tim LaHaye is? He's the author of the Left Behind series of apocalyptic novels. The idea that the rapture is coming any day, don't be left behind. He's introducing Huckabee. And Huckabee, he's smiling, and apparently the press says he has a good sense of humor. I mean, I don't know that he's that funny, but he is very careful to, in the background, allow these Christian fundamentalists to do his dirty work. One main reason why Huckabee has come into the front place in the Republican polls, though it could change any day, is because he's used a large group of people, a lot of email addresses, from The Last Temptation of Christ. Not The Last, that was Scorsese, excuse me, Mel Gibson's movie. I've forgotten it, and that's probably a good thing. Something, something Christ. In any case, Mel Gibson's Passions of the Christ, I think. Mel Gibson's list, though, and this is important, the list of people who supported that film were the list that's working behind the scenes. And there's all kinds of people working behind the scenes, and the media is really just starting to focus on Huckabee because before then he was just seen as a second-tier candidate. He's got a large group of people that are using nonprofit funds, in other words, tax-exempt funds, to support his campaign. They're raising funds in churches, and they're advocating voting for Huckabee. Now, this is an absolute, clear, 100% violation of federal election law. But what mostly happens with these federal election law violations is that, 2 years after the election, someone is slapped on the hand and fined a few hundred thousand dollars out of the millions of dollars that they raise. Well, Huckabee has these people, and they have a name. Trust Huckabee is the name of his group, and I guess he's trying to disassociate himself with them. One of the things these groups are doing is push polls. A push poll, and you've probably gotten one, I know I have. A push poll is where they call you up on the phone and they say, who do you support for president? And you say, and they say, would it change your mind if you knew that Mitt Romney was a Mormon who believed that every man can be God, which is one of the Mormon beliefs, or that they wear special underwear? Or would it change your mind if you knew that Rudolph Giuliani had gay roommates and once wore a dress. And what this push polling is intended to do, obviously, is to change people's minds in a very sneaky way to support Huckabee. Well, Huckabee has said that these are not good. These are dirty tricks. But he hasn't called them off. And I would hope that any candidate, you know, George W. Bush and the Swift voters did the same kind of thing. Oh, you know, well, I I'm not controlling these people, even when his same lawyer is working for both organizations. Let me suggest that if anyone does this on behalf of any candidate that's of, let's say, some moral, real moral rectitude, if this happens to a Democratic candidate, there's something the candidates should do. They should say, I want my supporters to stop giving money to this. I want it to stop now. I completely disavow this, and I will not allow anyone involved in this enterprise to in any way get any benefits from my administration. If you do this kind of thing, you're not only working against me, but you're not going to get an ambassadorship. You're not going to get a job in the administration. If you do these dirty tricks, I completely disavow you. Yeah, that'll be the day when that happens. I don't expect it. But what's interesting is that Mitt Romney, apparently, is so against the wall by the Huckabee surge that he's going to give a speech that a lot in the media are comparing to John Kennedy's famous speech in 1960. In that speech, John Kennedy made clear that his Catholicism would not get in the way of his policies. I want to read to you some of what John Kennedy said in that famous 1960 speech, because what he said is very different from what Romney will say, I'm sure. Kennedy said, quote, "But because I am a Catholic and no Catholic has ever been elected president, the real issues in this campaign have been obscured. So it is apparently necessary for me to state once again not what kind of church I believe in, for that should only be important to me, but what kind of America I believe in. I believe in an America," John Kennedy said in 1960, "where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate would tell the president, should he be Catholic, how to act, and no Protestant minister would tell his parishioners for whom to vote, where no church or church school is granted any public funds or political preference, and where no man is denied public office merely because his religion differs from the president who might appoint him or the people who might elect him." Now, sure, I wish Kennedy had said him or her in 1960, but otherwise, what he says rings absolutely true. There should be complete separation of church and state. What you believe should not be a reason, what you believe in terms of faith matters, should not be a reason for people to vote for you or vote against you. Mitt Romney will not give that kind of speech. Mitt Romney cannot give that kind of speech. And he can't do it because the Republican Party of today is very different from the Democratic or Republican Party of 1960. This is a party that is focused on religion. This is a party that supports theocratic reforms, that wants prayer in schools, that wants public funding of missionary things. And I'm going to talk about the Iowa case coming back after break. This is a party that wants very much to say, vote for me because Jesus is my favorite philosopher, as George Bush once said. Vote for me because I'm not just Christian, I'm your kind of Christian. Now, John Kennedy made it very clear that is an improper reason to vote for people. Romney can't do this. Romney has to walk a tightrope. Romney has to say, oh, my religion matters. Because he refuses to say, as John Kennedy did, my religion doesn't matter to public policy. He has to say, my religion matters, and I believe in Mormonism, but I don't necessarily want to talk about the parts of Mormonism where you wear the underwear or where, you know, the Native Americans are the lost tribes of Israel or where every man gets to have their own universe. I don't want to talk about that. No. Mormonism informs me in the way that I guarantee you that I'll be against gay rights, and I'll definitely want to force women never to have an abortion, even if they're raped. That's how Mormonism informs me. He wants to use religion in some ways and avoid it in other ways. It's a very difficult tightrope to walk, and I suspect he'll give a speech today, and we will see how well he walks that tightrope. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Any topic is valid. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Guy James Means, straight talk and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil, that I was able to get the inside documents from the inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the week in review. Lots to talk about. Bob Kincaid reminds me of the silliness that was going on between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, where Obama says, I guess Hillary says, hey, you know, you can't run, you don't have enough experience. I'm paraphrasing, but you don't have enough experience, and the entire 2 years you spent in the Senate is running for president, which, you know, she has a point, but you don't need to rub that in. I think most people know that. I don't think you need to say things like that. People know Obama's history. Largely the reason why he's not as strong as he is because he doesn't have the experience. It was kind of snarky. And then Obama gets more snarky and says, well, you know, I haven't been running for president all my life like you have. which echoes the Republicans who said that Bill Clinton was running for president all his life. And then Hillary says, aha, well, but in kindergarten you wrote an essay saying you wanted to be president, blah, 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 blah. Look, what is wrong with wanting to be president of the United States? There was a time in this country when we tried to encourage every kindergartner or first grader or eighth grader or high school student that you should want to, every boy and girl should want to grow up to be president, to change the world, to make this world a better place. That kind of idealism is a good thing. And if anything, to me, this Clinton-Obama spat, I blame the Republicans. I do. Because they're the ones who say that public service is bad. They're the ones who've gotten in Americans' minds, and I fear it is in the majority of Americans' minds, that if you've always wanted to be president, well, you're just a goody-two-shoes. You want to change the world and make it a better place. You don't want to go out and get drunk and get high and use cocaine and hit your father like our president did, George W. Bush. Our current president, he never wanted to be president. He just wanted to get high on cocaine all the time and drink and drive and beat up people at football games and steal wreaths. And, well, that's the kind of American we want. A good old boy. A standard American. Somebody who doesn't give a damn about the populace. Someone who just goes out and has fun and raises hell. And ain't that the kind of president we want? No, it's not. It's not the kind of president we want at all. Does anyone doubt that if George W. Bush's name were not the same name as his father, the president, that he would even have be running in the Republican Party, much less have the Supreme Court choose him, ordain him as our king? Come on. So I think Obama and Clinton need to lay off, but I think what more people need to lay off is this larger notion from the Republicans that somehow it's bad to want to do public service. Somehow it's bad to want to be president. It's a good thing. It's a high calling, and I don't think anyone should knock anyone for it. Bob from North Dakota, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm very curious because, you know, we live in a very upside-down world.
Yes, we do.
You know? And, you know, I'm not inside the belt. I haven't been in the beltway for many, many years. It's been a long time since I've been here in WWDC. And I have to question some things, okay?
Okay.
Especially ideas, because people get a lot of ideas in their heads and they think, oh, gosh, I got the answer, right? Do you have any idea what kind of effect your ideas have on the people that are not inside that beltway? I'm not talking about you, Mark. I mean, I'm talking about those special people that you were just mentioning just a moment ago. You know, they believe, right? They believe something. They believe that they have the answer to everybody's problem. If you would just follow them.
Bob, you mean the presidential candidates? Is that who you're referring to, or someone else? I just want to know.
Of course. You know, of course.
Okay.
You know, the whatever slate you want to throw up there, okay? And I mean whatever slate you want to throw up there. If it's the Democratic slate or the Republican slate, it's the same old thing. We need a change. We need to stop thinking of ourselves as just a loose conglomeration of idiots running around calling ourselves states, and think of ourselves as human beings living on the same little, tiny glob of mass that has come to planet Earth, and stop thinking of ourselves as knowing what God wants us to do, or whatever deity you want to throw out in front of you to say you understand what he has for you or she has for you, depending on your view of the universe, and realize that you are nothing other than that which the stars are made of. You come from the stars. stars. You don't come from something that was created. You come from something that we don't even understand how it got started. We don't know who God is or what God is. We don't have a grasp on anything other than the fact that we don't know nothing, Mark.
Well, I agree with you. I'll tell you, it's one of the, to me, that's one of the wonders of our Constitution, the wonders of America, that indeed we have enshrined.
It's not just
this idea that
the Constitution, Mark, it's the wonder of the universe.
Well, it is
something.
But what's nice is that our government recognizes, not our government, but the Constitution, that our founding documents recognize that precisely what you say, that no one has a monopoly on truth, that nobody knows everything, particularly not when it comes to religious matters, and that those are things best left to private citizens to decide for themselves. And that's what John Kennedy was saying. Go ahead.
In their heart, it belongs to the individual. It doesn't belong to the nation. And we cannot, we have to separate those two things. The nation is just a group of individuals, like a community. We either work together to build a better community, or we will fall apart as a nation, as a community, as a state, or as a loose conglomeration of states that you call the United States. We'll fall apart, Mark. We cannot hold if the center of this thing that we call democracy, or the Democratic Republic, or a republic, I don't know what you want to call it, but let's call it this. Okay, let's call it this. We are human beings floating around this universe on a little bitty glob of universal matter that we call the planet Earth. It isn't much. If you take the whole universe, I mean, not talking about the galaxy or the solar system, I'm talking about the universe. We do not matter more than one drop of sand in that hourglass.
I agree with you, and I get your point. I'm just trying to understand what you mean. How does that, to you, apply politically? Does that say to you, avoid theocratic government? Does that say to you...
It means avoid all political, social, economic, and whatever religious affiliations. And just realize that you and I are just individuals. We don't belong to anything other than what we came from, and that is from the stars. We didn't come from, whatever group of individuals you were born into, because that group of individuals came from the same stuff.
You know, it's interesting, Bob, what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you, but throughout human history, we have always, humans have always, most of us, bonded in some way or another to our family. We don't treat our spouses the same as we do a stranger. If our kids were homeless, we would do more for them than the homeless person on the street, and certainly more for them than a starving child in Africa. People tend to help their families first. You know, the members of their community or their tribe second, you know, maybe their people, their religion, their ethnicity, their nation first, and they tend to look someone on the far corner of the globe who they've never met, who they don't know, who doesn't speak their language in a different way. That's sort of what nation states are all about. And it's something that I don't think we may be coming to a global world eventually, and I don't think that's a bad thing, but I do think we're a long way away from it.
I know that too. And the truth is, Mark, that okay, I could disagree with you on many, many topics. I mean, I don't know what's your favorite flower. I mean, mine is the rose. Okay.
I don't think I have one, but go ahead. We only got a few seconds left.
Maybe it's a chrysanthemum or something. But I'm saying I could disagree with you on a lot of different topics, but I cannot fault for holding those beliefs and those facts
We've got to wrap it up. I tell you, I want to continue this discussion with you another day. I'm more than happy to have you call in, but we're running up against the evil hour, and there's nothing I can do to stop the second hand. So thanks for calling in, Bob.
Mark,
I appreciate it. Let's continue this discussion another day. Tomorrow, I'm doing my famous show on the Second Amendment and guns. Listen in for that. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.